Tom Wright, the former Anglican Bishop of Durham, says, "I think there's something wrong with the way that I preach." He says, "Whenever Jesus preached, it seemed to be that there would be two reactions. People would either attempt to stone him or throw him off a cliff." Tom says, "When I preach, ladies from the church offer to make me a cup of tea." I'm not even sure what's wrong with me. I don't even think any of the ladies have offered to make me a cup of tea yet. So it's clearly something wrong with my preaching. But we have in this gospel this confrontation between the way of grace, the way of life, and the way of ordinary religious expression. Because all that Jesus does is read from the scriptures. Last week we heard him open the scroll of the prophet Isaiah to find the passage in Isaiah 61 and to read from that, but to allow that message of salvation, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to announce good news for the poor, to bring liberty to those who are captives, to give new sight to those who are blind, to all those who are oppressed, to bring them their freedom. All he's doing is just announcing this good news. But as a prophet, there's an edge to this. Luke tells us that the people were astonished by the words of grace that Jesus utters, that these words of grace that he is able to speak forth, until he then announces that this grace knows no limits. This grace is to be extended. And he offers us two examples, again, from the scriptures, from the day of the prophet Elijah, when Jesus said he wasn't sent to any of the widows of Israel. He was sent to a foreigner, way up north, to a Sidonian woman, to offer her salvation. And then when his disciple Elisha was ministering in Judea, that it was to this, again, utterly foreign Naaman, who was the head, the chief of the army of this oppressive foreign power, the one that would ultimately threaten the very existence of Israel. And yet it's to him, to Naaman, that this message of salvation is offered. That's enough for these very religious people there in this little town of Nazareth. And so they hustle him out of the synagogue and drag him. It's about a 2-kilometer walk from the center of Nazareth up to this pretty high, it's about 400-meter high Mount Precipice. You get wonderful views from there. It's quite a steep cliff. So I guess it'd be something like going to the top of Bulleh Pass and looking out on from the escarpment across Wollongong and seeing that deep cliff off there. And so it's to that place that they then threaten to throw him off the cliff. But of course, Jesus, I mean, I was trying to walk through this gospel and to imagine what it would have been like, a 2-kilometer walk up this cliff. It would have taken, 20 or 30 minutes to get him to in the midst of the crowd as they're bustling and dragging and bringing him along. What's going through the mind of Jesus? What's going through the mind of all of the crowd as this is unfolding? They know what this is likely to be leading to, this whole movement and impulse. And yet in the midst of that, suddenly he's just able to walk through the crowd. It's also interesting that two passages before, we have Jesus being taken out into the wilderness. And one of the temptations that is put before Jesus by the accuser, the Satan, is throw yourself off this cliff and the angels will catch you. But he doesn't do that. What is going on here? Why is his message so challenging? And I think that the challenge is always for people of faith, people of religious conviction. This essence of what does it mean to be a follower of God? What does it mean to be a good person? Jesus is offering an example and witness here that I think continues to be so utterly challenging to us. that he's saying that the message of salvation, the message of life, is not just for one particular group of people. It's not a narrow vision. It's this deeply expansive and profound vision that is inclusive, that is utterly this whole sense of what is grace about. And grace, at its heart, is always challenging, because we know how to manipulate a system. We know how to do a system of religion that's based on rewards for building up frequent flyer points, or the whole system of, yes, we do this, and then that balances the other side of the column. This whole call for us to, no, just receive from the hands of God. Receive this absolute grace, this gift, this unmerited reward. That's what the heart of love is all about, that Paul reminds us in our second reading today, that it's about just receiving this goodness of God, letting God do this incredible work among us and within his people. But that's challenging, because that includes people that we don't really like, people that are not like us, people that are of different political persuasions, people of a different kind of outlook. I was reading an article saying that Justice Bill Clinton was considered by many to be the first black president of the US, you know, even though he's obviously not African American, but he was the first to really recognize the need of that community and to be more inclusive. So this article asserted that Pope Francis is the first gay pope, because not that he's changed the teaching of the church in any ways, but he's expressed this openness, this inclusive vision of God's grace. And as he struggled to make sense of how to be a pope within the current era, that message of inclusivity has really annoyed huge swathes of the church. As he's tried to speak about the goodness of God, as he's tried to embody that very presence of a God who is so joyful and wonderful and inclusive and loving, and who a God who doesn't see the boundaries that we set, so also we need to be continually challenged by the God who's calling us and inviting us to always be so much more. So today, let's take up that prophetic call and that prophetic challenge that Jeremiah tells us about today, that we were called and consecrated to be the bearers of good news from our mother's womb, from the very first moment of our lives. But we need to be messengers of grace. We need to be people that share the good news of God breaking into our world and to our lives today.